Reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 7 and 8. So again, we have two different narratives, two different stories being read side by side. So Mark chapter 7, and we're going to start at verse 31. And then we'll move on to chapter 8 and read from verse 13. So Mark chapter 7. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and who could hardly talk. And they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means, "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. But the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." And now chapter 8 and verse 13. Then he left them and got back into the boat and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "It's because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't even go into the village."
Good morning. Let's pray. Gracious God, we pray that you would open our eyes to your word and open your word to our hearts. Lord, we're in desperate need of you this morning. Where we are deaf, enable us to hear. Where we are dumb, enable us to speak. Where we are blind, open our eyes. And where our hearts have become hard, Lord, soften us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I came here to stand in for Phil for the summer, he and I had a conversation, and I said, "Well, how many weeks are you going to be away?" And he said, 16. And I said, well, what have you been preaching on and what's next? What would you normally do at this stage? And he said, I think it's time to get back into the Gospels. So 16 weeks and a Gospel, that would be Mark's Gospel because there are 16 chapters. But there's not really enough time to cover everything in the whole Gospel of Mark. And so what I chose to do, and what you may have been noticing, is to take pairs of stories that seem to interpret each other. I'd also like to thank Kanat for standing in for me last week, and we did enjoy our holiday up at Caracol. Thank you. This is entitled The Deaf and the Blind. I'd like to just make a couple of comments about deafness and blindness before I start. Deafness, otherwise called hearing impairment, blindness, otherwise called visual impairment. There are very few people who are actually stone deaf, and there are very few people who are actually black blind, can't see anything at all. There are people with hearing impairment of various varieties, and it's graded. And likewise with blindness or visual impairment. It's not either perfect vision or black blindness. There are all kinds of different degrees of visual impairment. Some people have tunnel vision. Some people have colour blindness or night blindness. Some people have blind, well, we all have blind spots. It's about 15 degrees and 5 off centre and a spot around there and there. You've got one. It's where your optic nerve goes. There can be the odd condition of facial blindness where someone can have 20/20 vision and yet I can see you clearly and I do not recognise your face. For those of you who collect rare words, that's called prosopagnosia. And how do I read the scriptures? Some of you have asked this question. I come to this book deeply, deeply convinced that this is God's word. It's given for us and for our benefit, but it has come to us through human authors, through Mark, through Habakkuk, through Moses, through David. And God's inspired word moved these people to write down what he communicated. And the primary focus is Jesus. Jesus is in all the scriptures. And so I pay attention to the text, insofar as I'm able, in the original languages as well as in English. I pay attention to the type of writing, its structure, what's going on historically, where he is, what is the geographical location, what is the wider gospel context? Is it narrative? Is it poetry? I look for other interpretive texts, parallel passages, places where this verse has been quoted again. I look at the whole scope of Scripture and its relevance to the world at large, to the church, to this church, to me. So let's look at these two stories of healing, a healing of a deaf-mute man and a healing of a blind man. Can we move to the next slide, please? And on again. On again, Sladisha. And again. Sorry, I've got ahead of my own PowerPoint here. Here we go. So we've got two stories. This is a bit of a busy slide, but I'll try and explain what's coming on. These two stories are written in parallel. They are very, very similar in their structure. So first of all, there's a geographical location. Where are we located? Top left, you'll see in the Decapolis. It's in Gentile territory. Jesus has come down from Tyre and Sidon. He's come down to the Sea of Galilee and he's in the Decapolis. This is not Jewish territory. This is a deaf man in Gentile territory. The second story, that gives a geographical location as well. He's in Bethsaida. He's now in Jewish territory. So there's a geographical notice. And then what happens is, some people brought the man to Jesus. So they brought the deaf man who could hardly talk. They brought the blind man who could not see. Then there was a diagnosis. He's deaf and dumb. He's blind. Then they begged Jesus. Both stories. They begged Jesus. What did they beg him to do? To touch him. Reach out your hand and to touch. And then there's this strange thing of a quiet place. Jesus takes the deaf man away from the crowd. Jesus takes the blind man out of the village. Then there's touch. Puts his fingers in his ears, touches his eyes, and there's spit. Jesus doesn't need to touch. He doesn't need to spit. There's another story about a blind man later on in chapter 10 called Bartimaeus. All Jesus has to do is to speak and he's healed. But these two stories have touch and spit. Then there's looking up. Jesus looks up to heaven. The blind man looks up to see. The deaf man's ears are opened. The blind man's eyes are opened. There's clear speech. There's plain sight. And then there's silence again, as Jesus says, "Do not tell anyone." He's just healed a deaf man who cannot speak, and he says, "Shh." Bit of a strange thing. The man can now speak. He wants to tell everybody. And he says to the blind man, "Don't even go back to the village. Just go home." And again, we've talked about this. Why does he do this in this first half of Mark's Gospel? We're just getting to the cusp where everything's about to change, where Jesus reveals his identity, and finally, as he stands before the Jewish council, they say, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Holy One?" And he says, "I am." And that's when they kill him. To declare his identity at the first would have been extremely dangerous. So these two stories, this deaf man and this blind man, come as two parallels. And in the middle, between them, Jesus is in the boat again with the disciples. And what does he say to them? He says, "Are you so deaf that you do not understand? And are you so blind that you cannot see?" There's a story of a deaf man receiving his hearing. There's a story of a blind man. And in the middle, Jesus asks the disciples, "Are you so deaf that you cannot hear and so blind that you cannot see?" How can we avoid realizing that Mark is trying to say something to us? He's trying to say something to us about the identity of Jesus. Who is he? Psalm 148 verse 6 says, "It's the Lord who gives sight to the blind." Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and recovery of sight to the blind." Does he who fashioned the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? Was it not God himself at the beginning who said, "Let there be light"? So, I started to think about the deaf and the blind. And I started to think about three conversations, three interviews that God had with particular people. And if you just move on to the next slide, these are the three interviews. Why have I gone here? It will all become clear in just a moment. The first interview is Moses and God at the burning bush. The second interview is God and Isaiah in chapter 6. And the third one is with Saul of Tarsus, who later became Paul, Saint Paul, who wrote half the New Testament, on the road to Damascus. Let's look at them each one in turn. Exodus chapter 3 says this: Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness. He came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. It's the story of the burning bush that isn't burning, or is not consumed. Moses saw the bush was on fire, but it didn't burn up. So he thought to himself, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush doesn't burn up? When the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses! Moses! You know when you are in trouble, when your mother calls out your name twice. Oibek! Oibek! Marcus! Marcus! Lucy! Lucy! When your parent cries out your name twice, you're in trouble. Asafi! Asafi! Moses said, Here am I. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground. And then he says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I've seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard, bear in mind, I've seen, I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. Moses is nearly 80 years old. He is a refugee. He is a murderer. He is a failed aristocrat. He's a failed liberator. He's guarding a few sheep of his father-in-law, a wandering nomad in the desert. And he sees a burning bush. He hears a voice. He takes off his shoes. He covers his face. And God lays out his plan. And Moses lays out his excuses. Who am I? What if the Israelites won't listen to me? What if Pharaoh won't listen to me? And I can't speak very well. I stammer. Send someone else. And Exodus 4:11 says, The Lord said to him, Who gave human beings their mouths? Who made them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. This is an extraordinary verse. Let me read it to you again. The Lord said to him, Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. Is God here accepting responsibility for human disease and defect? Because it certainly looks like it. Now then, That's the first interview. The second interview is Isaiah chapter 6. It's Isaiah's interview with God in the temple. Isaiah chapter 6 reads like this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne. When human kings die or move on, God is still on the throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Just the very edge, the hem, the end of his robe filled the temple. Above him were the seraphim. Who are the seraphim? In Hebrew, the word means the burning ones. They remember? There was a burning bush. Well, now there are burning angels, each with six wings. With two, they covered their faces. What did Moses do? He covered his face. With two, they covered their feet. What did Moses do? He took off his sandals. And with two, they were flying. Moses was not flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke, but not consumed. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Eternal King, the Lord Almighty." And then one of the seraphim, one of the burning ones, flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Oh, don't we need to hear that word? That God takes our sin away and our sins are atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Here is Isaiah the prophet, a shepherd now of God's people, not a shepherd of sheep. He sees a vision of the Lord and the burning ones, the seraphim, not a burning bush. And he sets out this sense of deep personal inadequacy. "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips." Moses had said, "Woe is me, I'm a man of stammering lips." And God lays out his plan. "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the hearts of this people calloused or hard. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." This, again, is an extraordinary verse. Does God really not want people to hear, not want people to see, not want people to understand? Why does he say this? So we have Exodus 4, verse 11, Isaiah 6. Both of these interviews with God are full of problems, difficult concepts. Does God accept responsibility for human disease? And does God not want people to listen, to hear, to see, to repent? I want you to hold those questions in your mind. Just hold them in your thoughts as I take you on to the third interview. And this is now Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. It's Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul, who had just put Stephen to death, was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked them for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, the people who were following Jesus, the way, the truth and the life, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul." He knew he was in trouble. "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now, get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could not see anything. So they led him by the hand into Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind and did not eat anything or drink anything. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus had denounced the Pharisees as the blind guides. "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, blind guides." And here we see a Pharisee breathing threats and murder, blind to who Jesus is, on his way to Damascus to kill and imprison Christians. And a light shines out of heaven to do what? To blind him. And a voice comes out of heaven, "Saul, Saul, Moses, Moses, kneel, kneel. Why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, and I am sending you." What did he say to Moses? "I am sending you." What did he say to Isaiah? "I am sending you." Saul is blinded by God so that he can see who Jesus is. The story of Saul's conversion is repeated 3 times in Acts. Once in Acts chapter 9, then in chapter 22 and chapter 26 as he recounts his own testimony. In chapter 22 it says, "I was blind because the light had been so bright." And in chapter 26 he goes on and says, God is talking to him, "I will rescue you from the Jewish people and from the non-Jewish people to whom I'm sending you. You will open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from Satan's control to God's. And then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and a share among God's people who are made holy by believing in me." See, God lays out his plan. The man he is blinding so that he can see is going to be a light to the Gentiles, so that they will have their eyes opened. To make Saul see, God struck him blind. To receive a message of light, God put Paul into the darkness. To open people's eyes, Saul's eyes were closed. Who is it that makes someone seeing or blind or deaf or mute? Do you remember? I could give you another interview. It would be Zechariah in the temple before the birth of John the Baptist. What happened to him? He was struck dumb so that he would be able to declare the coming kingdom. These are difficult verses. Does God really claim responsibility for human defect and disease? Does he really not want people to hear or to see or to repent? In Isaiah 32, we read it right at the beginning. "A king will reign in righteousness, and then the eyes of the blind will be opened. The eyes of those who do not see will no longer be closed. The ears of those who hear will listen, the fearful heart will know and understand, and the stammering tongue will be fluent and clear. I'm just skimming over the surface of the language of the deaf and the blind in Scripture. In Isaiah, it's mostly in chapters 42 and 43, but blindness goes from Genesis chapter 3 to Revelation chapter 3. How does Satan first tempt Eve? God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And I haven't got time to talk about Isaac and his blindness, or Leah and her poor vision, or Samson, whose eyes were put out, the last judge of Israel, or Zedekiah, the last king of Judah, whose eyes were put out, or Eli, the blind priest, or the church in Laodicea. Do you not know that you are poor, wretched, naked, blind? You see, ultimately, those who have ears will hear, and those who have eyes will see. For every eye will see him, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But at this present time, the evil one, who is the God of this age, has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We don't preach ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," he has made his light shine into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So, let's get back to Mark 7 and 8, the deaf mute man and the blind man. Jesus wants them to hear, to speak, to see. Jesus took them away from the crowd, out of the village. Where's your village? Where's your comfort place? Where do you know everything? Has he taken you out of your village so that you can see something that you could not see in your village? Is he just about to remove you from your home so that he can show something that cannot be seen at home? I used to be an eye doctor, an eye surgeon, and I travelled round Central Asia extensively. And one evening, I was in the hill village just across the border, and my local colleague, a young doctor, was with me. He had nothing to read. He was bored. It was in the evening. And so I gave him the story of the blind man to read. And he read it, and then he said to me, "So, Dr. Nil, are you going to start spitting in people's eyes?" Spit has many interpretations. Spit, saliva, can be healing under some circumstances. When you cut yourself, what's the first thing you do? Ow! You lick it. Spit has some healing properties. A Roman emperor, Vespasian, was said to have spat in someone's eyes and healed them of their blindness. But without a doubt, in any culture, if I came into your face and spat at you, it would be an insult, would it not? And what happened to Jesus later on? He declared himself to be, "I am he." And what did they do? They spat at him and blindfolded him. The exact opposite of what he's doing here. He has used his saliva to bring about sight and healing and wholeness. But they, with insult, spat at him and blindfolded him. And he says, do you see anything? And the man says, I see men as trees walking. Why does Jesus have to do two parts to this miracle? Well, he's just done the same with the disciples. He's fed 5,000. He's fed 4,000. Now do you see? You see, the next chapter, the next story, Jesus says, who do people say that I am? And some say you're Elijah or a prophet or a miracle worker or... And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. At last, he's seen. To get the disciples to see and to hear, he takes them out of their comfort zone, away from their village. He's in the middle of the lake on a boat and he says, beware the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. And they start saying to him, did you bring any bread? And he says, what are you talking about? When I fed the 5,000, how many baskets were pulled up? 12. 12. Oh, that'll be enough for all of Israel. 12. 12 tribes. 12. 12. And when I fed the 4,000 Gentile people, how many baskets did you pull up? 7. 7. 7. How many nations did Israel dispossess? 7. What is he saying? I've got enough grace for Jews and Gentiles, for everyone, all 12 tribes of Israel, all 7 tribes of Gentiles, I've got enough for everything. Do you still not understand? Because the Pharisees were blind to his identity. They could not see who he was. And Herod was deaf to John's preaching. You see, it's the idols who have ears but cannot hear, have eyes that cannot see. Do not be like them. So what do I want to say to you at the end of this? I want to say to you, come aside to a quiet place. Leave the crowd. Exit the village. Get out of your comfort zone. Open your eyes. Open your ears. Open the scriptures and feast on them. What does the Saviour have to show you or say to you this week? Are you willing to accept his insult? Will you let him spit in your eye? Will you hear him call your name? Moses! Moses! Saul! Saul! Oleg! Oleg! Dinara! Dinara! Where will he take you? What is he warning you about? What is he saying beware of? And what is his encouragement to you when he says, I fed 5,000. Can I not provide for you? I fed 4,000. What are you worrying about? Let's stand together and read these verses again. I'll read the top bit, and then you read with me. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness. Together, eyes of those who do not see will no longer be closed, and the ears of those who hear will listen. The fearful heart will know and understand, and the stammering tongue will be fluent and clear. Let me pray. Oh, let me hear thee speaking in accents clear and still, above the storms of passion and the murmurs of self-will. Oh, speak to reassure me, to hasten or control. Oh, speak and make me listen, thou guardian of my soul. Amen.